more Idaho Matters right now. The Red Cross recently updated its eligibility criteria for blood donations, something that should increase the blood supply. But Dr. Walter Kelly, medical director for American Red Cross in Idaho, Montana, and Eastern Oregon, says that's not why they did it. He says it was the right thing to do. Dr. Kelly sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, and we should add that this conversation does include some comments regarding sexual behaviors. Let's take a listen.
Up front, can I assume that the need for blood is a constant?
Yeah, that's a very good assumption to make and very correct. To give you an example, I was on a call, and during that phone call, I received I received 9 different breakthrough phone calls from hospitals asking about blood availability.
Wow.
So it's on the top of my mind most of the time.
So the American Red Cross, I want to make sure I have this right, aligns with the Food and Drug Administration when it comes to rules regarding blood?
Yeah, so the Food and Drug Administration is the entity that's legally responsible in America for determining what blood eligibility exists. And then the American Red Cross takes those FDA requirements and turns them into procedures that we can actually use when the community comes in to donate blood. So we make sure that the way that we go about blood donation meets those legal requirements that are put in place. And the FDA puts those legal requirements in place through a very stringent review process to make sure that the blood is safe.
Let's talk about what is new. Who gets to donate blood now as compared to the recent past?
Yeah, absolutely. So the American Red Cross has been able to implement the new rules that the FDA has made, and it's really removed barriers to a lot of people in our communities that have historically been less able to donate blood. Removing these barriers really impacts a lot of different communities. So the first one I mentioned is folks in the military, either currently in the military, previously in the military, or even military dependents. We had a lot of restrictions around folks who had been in Europe specifically and on military bases. And that had to do with the risk for mad cow disease. Of course, as we've learned more about those risks, we were able to take those away. And, you know, for example, you know, many of our Red Cross employees, even throughout the Rockies here, are previous service members and weren't able to donate. And all of a sudden, you know, they were able to. So that's made a big difference. Another one is travel. One of the things on the international stage that we worry about with blood safety is a disease called malaria, which we haven't had here in the United States in a very long time. But it's spread by mosquitoes. And so there were a lot of restrictions around where people could travel. And of course, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, the public would hear something and misinterpret it. And people would think, oh, well, I've been out of the country, maybe I can't donate blood. And it was not often true. But now it's even much less often the case, because, again, we review the science and are able to do this. Now, the biggest change that has happened recently is men who have sex with men. So the first FDA rule about men who have sex with men was put in place way back in the 80s, in 1983. And this was at a time when we didn't have any testing reliably for testing for the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. And very little was known about the virus. And so this very broad ban was put into place, and that changed in 2015 for the first time since the 80s. And in 2015, the Red Cross followed the FDA's updated guidance that allowed for a shorter deferral period. And then again in 2020, that was taken down to a 3-month deferral period. And at that point, the Red Cross put a great effort to do a very large safety study with a number of our partner blood collecting organizations to really understand what the HIV risk was and how we could make the blood donation process more inclusive. And at the end of that study, that information was made available to the FDA, and the FDA was able to put new rules in place that allows us to assess individual risk instead of, just broadly saying, if you're a man who has sex with men, you can't donate blood, or you can only donate blood if you have, no sexual contact for a period of time. Now we're able to ask very specific individual risk questions that allow most men who have sex with men to simply be able to donate blood, as all their peers in our culture are able to.
So, just so I understand, it's not about sexual orientation then. It is about sexual behavior.
It's about very specific risk behavior. So we ask the question, have you had a new sexual partner or multiple sexual partners in the last 3 months? And if the answer to that is yes, then we ask the question, have you had anal sex with the new or multiple partners? And it's only in that very limited circumstance that a person is deferred for 3 months. Yeah, and so it's only that very specific risk, because we know that someone in that very small window has a different risk profile. And so it's only people in that, in that very specific risk profile that are deferred.
How big a deal of this is for the Red Cross? Do you have a sense of how this will impact the volume of the blood supply?
The reason for doing this is not to have more blood. The reason to do this is because it's the just and right thing to do. There's not a reason to have a process that discriminates against people. The point of blood donation screening is to make sure we have a safe blood supply. Now, that being said, depending on where you are in the country, there are quite a few people who simply have not been able to donate blood because of the way that the questions were asked and what the criteria were. And so now those individuals are able to donate blood, and it's a ripple effect, right? When people in your community feel empowered to donate blood, well, that encourages other people, whether those people are men who have sex with men or not, right? And so we do expect that there's going to be, an increase in blood donors, and especially in blood donor diversity. And that's really the thing that we hope for, is that the community as a whole looks at this and says, oh, the Red Cross is doing the right thing. I want to support that. And then they will come out and donate blood, whether they were previously deferred or not.
Just anecdotally, in your conversations with your colleagues, are you seeing just that?
Oh yeah, I mean, I have friends and family members who are gay. And, having that barrier removed, I mean, that's a real tangible part of their life, right? They're able to see this is no longer preventing me from engaging in this civic activity that I was prevented from engaging in previously.
Triggers higher participation rates. Obviously, sad to say, there are disasters, natural and otherwise,
Absolutely.
across the globe that grab our attention. But I'm wondering what messaging or what season of the year might trigger a higher volume of participation.
Yeah, for sure. So you're absolutely right. One of the ways that people will respond during and the aftermath of a disaster can certainly be increased blood donation. We saw that after the giant Moore tornado in Oklahoma City when I practiced there years ago. Those sort of larger societal instances definitely encourage people to donate blood. On the personal level, when someone has a family member that becomes ill or needs a surgery, has cancer, and they see their family members, receiving blood transfusions, that is for a lot of people a real motivator. We certainly see that, of course. We engage with a lot of different civic organizations, schools. Sometimes colleges and universities like to have, their blood battles. Those things definitely encourage folks. We were very fortunate this year to have the Peanuts gang make a Snoopy t-shirt that had never been done before, and blood donors just flocked to that. And so we try to find, different meaningful ways to engage with our communities so that they understand the importance of blood donation, and that we can make it, as convenient and vibrant a part of their life as we can.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.